are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, February the 26th, and a blah night in Denver. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press and PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to run down some details from the loss to the Nuggets on Tuesday night. I've got three big takeaways from this one, and I've also got a couple interesting tidbits for you guys about Tony Snell and lottery contracts. I also have a few prompts for you guys. I want some help from you guys for content the rest of the week. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons lose 115-98 to the Denver Nuggets, the seventh straight loss for the red, white, and blue. The season-long losing streak continues. Pistons fall to 19-41 on the season, sixth in the tankathon standings, just a half game behind or ahead of the New York Knicks, who are in fifth place with the league's worst record standings there. The projections right now, Basketball Reference says the Pistons projected to finish 7th in the Tankathon rankings, while 538.com projects the Pistons to be tied for 3rd with the Knicks, so a bit of a wide range there. I think it's important to lose games and go up in those standings, and I think it's pretty much consensus around Pistons Nation at this point, but I'll tell you why a little bit later. Not so much for the better odds for the top 4 pick as much as what the ramifications would be if they don't get one of those top 4 picks, and I also might tell you why they might not want one of those top 4 picks as well. But the Pistons fall to the Nuggets, and they are now 3-15 against good teams around the NBA and 4-11 against the Western Conference, 2-8 so far in February, with a month that only has what, two more games left in it? No, I guess one more game left Friday in February, so a 2 or 3 win month with the Phoenix Suns coming up on Friday. In this one, 20 apiece for Derrick Rose and Christian Wood. Bruce Brown missed the game with right knee soreness. 14 points off the bench for Brandon Knight. 12 off the pine for Langston Galloway. Dante Hall and Derek Walton Jr. made their Pistons debuts. Dante Hall's NBA debut. And Kyrie Thomas returned after a long absence. More on those guys a little bit later. But Denver just kind of wins in a sleepwalk. Nothing notable about their game. They turned the ball over 18 times to 16 for Detroit. They only made 9 three-pointers, although 37.4%, not so bad on those. I'm sorry, 47.4%, not so bad there. 29 points, a career high for Jeremy Grant, who's been a bit of a disappointment for Denver this year. After coming from Oklahoma City, 16 apiece for Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, players that Dwayne Casey referred to as superstars before the game, and rightfully so. 13 points for Michael Porter Jr. off the bench, who in and of himself has a chance to become a superstar as well. The Pistons will continue their four-game road trip, 0-2 so far in this one. Next game will be Friday at Phoenix before opening the month of March Sunday at Sacramento. Back home next week for two games, one of them against the Oklahoma City Thunder and another against the Utah Jazz. Four potential losses coming up. I don't know. I kind of think it would be nice for the Pistons to somehow squeeze out one of these games, Phoenix or Sacramento, preferably Sacramento, because I feel like they have a little bit less of a chance of contending in the Tankathon standings. I guess both Phoenix and Sacramento are pretty high ahead of the Pistons at this point. But, those are two teams that you certainly could beat on the road, certainly will be underdogs, as the Pistons have such a depleted roster right now. And then you look at Oklahoma City and Utah, certainly coming to Detroit, thinking that they're going to win those games. And if you lose all four, now you got an 11-game losing streak, and it just becomes more and more tough to get teams to stay focused and to get the locker room to stay together at that point. I'm going to kind of subscribe to that theory that Laz Jackson has thrown out there as far as don't want those long double-digit losing streaks, so it would behoove the Pistons to possibly get a win against Phoenix or Sacramento, although loss after loss after loss, certainly not the worst thing in the world when thinking about the future of this franchise. But up next, I got three big takeaways for you. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Pistons is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Pistons fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Pistons fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses, especially here in Detroit. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to working with you.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I've got a Tony Snell stat for you, some lottery numbers, and some things that I want to hear from you about as well. But I got three takeaways, actually five takeaways today. I went a little crazy for you guys. The honorable mention first takeaway from Tuesday's loss to the Denver Nuggets. Christian Wood got his start, so congrats to the big man for that. A lot of consternation after Sunday when he didn't start, and the Pistons got bum rushed in the first quarter and were kind of playing from behind in the second quarter when they made their own run with Christian Wood out there on the court. Look, all the plus minus numbers, we know that the Pistons are much better off with Christian Wood. He's their best player right now over these past five or six games. Certainly Derrick Rose has been better throughout the entire season. But right now, Derrick Rose has hit kind of a little bit of a downswing, was decent on Tuesday night. But Christian Wood has just been a force. So he got that start. He played 34 minutes on Tuesday night instead of 31 on Sunday night. But the Pistons got pounded instead of staying in it like they did on Sunday night, certainly against a better team on Tuesday night in Denver. But yeah, I guess I don't quite get it, what the big deal was on Sunday night with Christian Wood. Maybe he'll leave in free agency this summer and point to that Sunday night in Portland for the reason that he felt disrespected and doesn't want to play for Dwayne Casey anymore because he came off the bench and played 31 minutes on Sunday night in February. But second honorable mention for the Pistons game, Tony Snell with 7 assists. And it kind of showed throughout the game, did some things as a ball handler coming off a pick and roll, put the ball in Tony Snell's hands, let the man do work. Of course, I kid. I'm not a Tony Snell guy. And I think it's a little bit telling that you're shocked when he does make plays, but hey, season high, career high, 7 assists, just a nice performance from him, showing some signs of life for a guy who doesn't really show them very often. I wanted to pay special tribute also to a special anniversary we just passed, and that was the 3-year anniversary of a game from February 24th, 2017, when for the Milwaukee Bucks, Tony Snell played 28 minutes and did not record a point, a rebound, a steal, assist, or a block. So pretty much got his exercise on the court for 28 minutes for the Bucks. But the third biggest takeaway from Tuesday wasn't involving the Pistons directly, but Shams of The Athletic reporting that, reporting that Steph Curry is coming back for the Warriors on Sunday against the Wizards. They had a loss to the Kings on Tuesday night. Now, the Warriors just have 12 wins this year, so it's not like they're really certainly in danger of being a huge challenger to taking the Pistons' spot in the standings overall. Pistons now 6 games back of the Warriors, but Steph Curry back on Sunday against the Warriors could give them a little bit of a boost, maybe give them some wins as well. Although certainly you would think that Golden State's going to keep an eye on the standings, maybe give them some rest here and there if they get anything close to the fourth spot in the conference or in the NBA, those first 3 spots being flat odds for the lottery this year. But, man, the Pistons, some more good news for Pistons fans. Golden State visits on Friday, March 20th, if you're a season ticket holder. Those tickets become more valuable. You can go watch Steph Curry, possibly, if he's still playing night in and night out that time. That is the first half of a back-to-back for the Golden State Warriors on a road trip they're going to be in Friday, March 20th in Detroit, and then Saturday night in New York to play the Knicks. So, you know, if it's up to Steph Curry, maybe he'd rather play on MSG on a Saturday. So we'll see how that all shakes out. And like I said, unlikely for the Pistons to get caught by the Golden State Warriors and to move up in those standings. But still notable, Steph Curry could be coming to Detroit and maybe even could mean something for the Tankathon standings. Second biggest takeaway, how about those debuts? And kind of a debut as well, given all the time that Kyrie Thomas missed. Kyrie makes his return, first time that he has played since November 6th. He's played two games this season, so this was his third. He scored 3 points in 14 minutes. He made a late three to get on the scoreboard, his first field goal of the season. I think it was important for him to get that one field goal to go down, and hopefully kind of leads him into some more productive moments the next few games here. He's going to have the rest of the season to get some minutes, and rightfully so, he should. He's a guy who deserves a chance here, and I think that even if, you know, it would take a remarkably poor performance for the Pistons to not bring him back next season. Such a small contract for a rebuilding team that doesn't need to be cutting bait on young players earlier than need be. So, you know, it's important for Kyrie Thomas to get some momentum going into the summer, stay healthy for sure, but I do think his roster spot is pretty safe going into next season. And I think that him showing off well gives some insurance in case they do want to continue exploring a Luke Kennard trade going forward. More good news, by the way, that Luke Kennard might be back relatively soon, maybe even as soon as after the road trip into next week. Be good to see him get out there, no matter what you think his future is for the Pistons. But some other debuts, Derek Walton Jr., his Pistons debut, no points, 0 for 1 in 6 minutes, missed a three-pointer that was in rhythm, looked like it could have gone down. Did finish with an assist and a steal. Underwhelming performance from Derek Walton Jr. Didn't really do much. Incomplete on his performance, no doubt about that. But Dante Hall had his NBA debut, 4 points and 4 rebounds, including 3 boards on the offensive end. He played 15 minutes, overtaking Thon's spot in the rotation, seemingly. Thon Maker only had 6 minutes played. Maybe that Thon magic is gone. He had a good stretch there, a couple few weeks of pretty good play, including some really good play at times during that stretch, but that appears to be over for now. Speaking of guys fighting for their NBA careers, but again, I'm seeing a guy in Thon and possibly in Dante who are playing for their spot on this roster next year, and I think that both have a reasonable chance to do it. I do think, though, hot take, that if it came down to the two, I probably would go with Dante Hall just because, you know, we kind of see what Thon is at this point. And certainly if there's a way to keep both in the program, whether that's Dante Hall, maybe on a two-way next year, maybe cut Jordan Bone loose or see whatever you want to do with Lewis King. Again, a lot of decisions to be made in the future. But I might put Dante Hall, for what he's done in Grand Rapids, a little bit more youth. Thon Maker turned 23 on Tuesday. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Not really sure how old Thon is. Hasn't progressed like you might expect someone in that age group to progress. But, you know, I got no inside information on that. But Dante Hall played well. I know a lot of you guys are real high on him across the Pistons Twitter world. I'm not as high on Dante Hall. I don't see a real difference maker. A big guy, certainly a rebounder, very good rebounder, someone who can block shots reasonably well, but just not a lot of – he's only 6'8", and that's a little concerning to me. But you love the hops, you love the youth, you love the energy that he brings, and certainly want to see him fulfill the rest of this 10-day contract, getting as many minutes as possible, and possibly even moving into a second 10-day for the Pistons as well. And maybe even earning a permanent rest of the year roster spot if the Pistons have the room to make that happen. But my biggest takeaway from Tuesday night, and it's really not specifically about this game, but I'm seeing a lot of consternation from Pistons fans out there in the ether, the internet, all that good stuff, about Dwayne Casey. And I know that I'm probably labeled as a Dwayne Casey defender. And certainly I'm not someone who thinks Dwayne Casey's doing an outstanding job this year. He's got 19 wins, certainly a lot of injuries to deal with. But I just want to point out that in my opinion, and I think not just my opinion, but kind of the prevailing opinion is no matter what you think of Dwayne Casey, He is not on the hot seat going into this summer. His job is safe, and it should be safe. But I kind of wanted to put that to bed. We're not going to have long discussions about Dwayne Casey's job security, certainly in a season-ending press conference, if there is one, for Ed Stefanski. The question should be brought up, but only with the expectation that Ed Stefanski is going to probably put that one to bed very quickly. Dwayne Casey had a solid first season with the Pistons, and again, this one has gone to hell. Injuries are a large part of the reason. Roster makeup is a large part of the reason. And certainly Dwayne Casey, whether he fulfills all 5 years of his contract going forward, I expect him to be here through certainly the first 3 years of that five-year deal. However, one thing I will point out is that in year two, Dwayne Casey brought back the entire assistant coaching group from year one and a whole new group that was brought in with him. That's Sidney Lowe. That's Sean Sweeney. That's Mike Anori. I mean, those are kind of the three main assistants. There's some other guys on the second level of assistants too. But, man, I just wonder if there's a shakeup among the assistant coaching crew. We know the defense took a step back this year. However, the offense kind of took a step forward. And I think that, you know, as far as who the offensive guru of this team is, whether that's Sidney Lowe, I'm not really sure to be exact. But I think we all kind of know from the outside and from everything we hear that Sean Sweeney is the de facto defensive coordinator to this team. And then, of course, Dwayne Casey is known as more of a defensive coach himself. So I wonder if there is a spot on the bench for an offensive coordinator, an offensive guru. And I think that might be something that the Pistons coaching staff needs to consider going forward. Maybe Mike Anori and Sidney Lowe, maybe one of those guys, is not brought back going into next season, and maybe that could be a way that that ownership could maybe invest a little bit more into this team. You know, coaching salaries aren't capped, or there's no a maximum amount of money that you can spend. You can spend as much as you want on coaches. So maybe one of those assistant coaches out there from a good program you can bring in as like a lead assistant, and that can be something that Dwayne Casey could be brought along with, and someone who could kind of be a little bit more innovative offensively and do some things to get the Pistons emerging players into some good spots as we kind of realize and see who some of these guys are. So that's my recommendation. No hot seat for Dwayne Casey, but maybe invest a little bit more, some name assistant coaches, some maybe young, innovative assistant coaches that we've never heard of, guys out there that maybe get some head coaching interviews, but don't get the jobs. Maybe you bring in some former players that are hot names that could be coaches of the future, that kind of thing. I think could be something that the Pistons could be looking at going forward. But up next, got a Tony Snell stat for you, another one, and some lottery numbers and some things I want to hear from you as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, in honor of Tony Snell getting his career high 7 assists, I wanted to delve into some of the numbers about the amazing free throw season that Tony Snell is having. 22 of 22 from the free throw line. Naturally, he did not attempt one on Tuesday, but just kind of extrapolating the 100% free throw seasons of the past, the number one season of all time for 100% free throws was Kobe Simmons of the Memphis Grizzlies a couple years back in 17-18. He was 25 of 25. And like I said, Tony Snell, 22 of 22 so far this season. Now, obviously, that was to break that record, he has to continue that for the entire season. And he's tied right now for another player in the league who's also 22 for 22 on the season, the most out of anyone who's perfect for the year. And that's Kalon Martin of the Timberwolves. I'm not familiar with this gentleman, but apparently he is also 22 for 22 this season. But there's another guy to kind of keep an eye on, and that is Steph Curry. Steph Curry is 18 of 18 this year, and only with about 20-some-odd games left after he returns on Sunday, certainly feasible that Steph Curry could continue his perfect free-throw shooting throughout the entire season. So record watch for Tony Snell going forward. Also doing some digging around the internet tonight as well. Found some of the rookie scale numbers for the 2020 draft based on the projections of the salary cap right now. They have the rookie scale numbers come out, and then the rookies have the right to sign contracts for anywhere between 80% and 120% of what the suggested rookie scale would be. Now, pretty much all the time, every rookie signs for 120%. So my numbers that I came up with here are based on rookies signing for 120% of the rookie scale, which is, again, pretty much always what happens. And this kind of underscores a lot of the stuff, highlights some of the stuff that I've been talking about with this draft. Being someone who's not in love with Anthony Edwards, even as maybe the number one player on my board, although I'm not sure right now. Certainly not someone who wants James Wiseman, and also not really crazy about LaMelo Ball, too. Kind of the presumed 1, 2, and 3 picks. And then being pretty much a little bit higher on guys like Killian Hayes, guys like Tyrese Halliburton, guys like Okongwu at USC. The second tier of guys is actually people that I'm a little bit more excited about. Isaac Okoro, you can throw into that group as well, and some of the other point guards that are out there. So I just want to kind of throw some of these numbers at you. The first pick of the 2020 draft, you're going to have to sign for, and all these four-year deals come with options on the third and fourth seasons. As we know, the teams can decline the third and fourth seasons before the previous season, as we're seeing with Harry Giles this season in Sacramento. Henry Ellenson was another one who fell victim to that and didn't get that extra season there at the end of his rookie contract. So the first pick of the 2020 draft is going to be due a four-year $46.6 million contract that escalates from 10.2, 10.8, 11.3, 14.2 in those 4 years. As we kind of go down the list here, the fifth pick of the NBA draft gets a four-year $30.6 million deal. So that goes from 6-7 to 7-1, 7-4, 9-4. Now, the ninth pick of the NBA draft, they get a four-year $21.4 million deal, going from 4-7, 4-9, 5-1, 6-6. So, you know, what am I saying? Not only am I not crazy about the players at the top of the board, I'm also not crazy about their contracts at the top of the board. Now, you could kind of extrapolate the numbers, and I'll tweet out these numbers at some point during the draft process, but first pick, 4 years, $46 million. Fifth pick, 4 years, $30 million, $16 million in savings over 4 years. Ninth pick, 4 years, $21 million. Still, in my opinion, can get a pretty good point guard there. So when you're going through the tankathon projections, when you're doing your own simulations of the lottery, and the Pistons end up with the sixth, the fifth, the seventh, the eighth pick, as time goes on, man, I don't think that's all that bad, especially considering talking about saving $16, $20 million over the course of a four-year deal. Now, I still think it's important for the Pistons to be losing games and moving up on those tankathon standings, not necessarily to get the odds in their favor for getting for top four pick, but just so that if they don't end up getting a top four pick, which would be okay, you know, it's always a good thing to get a top pick, a high pick. I'm not arguing that it's not, but get up into that fourth, fifth, or sixth category so that if you get jumped, you don't get those top four picks, you're still getting the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth pick in the draft, or maybe even ninth, and saving a little bit of dough. Like I said, 4 years, 46 for the first pick in the draft, 4 years, 21.4 for the ninth pick in the draft. Now, again, the first pick in the draft's good. You can pick whoever you want, and certainly we're not going to turn that down as an organization, but, you know, you're talking about paying the first pick more than double of what you're going to pay the ninth pick over a four-year stretch. Just something to think about as we go forward. One more thing to think about is that I want some feedback from you guys. Got some time to fill for the next couple episodes this week, and my guy Chubbs reached out. I think he's got some things to say. So I'm going to open up the voicemail lines for you guys the next couple of days, 810-666-1546. Some prompts that you can answer. Leave your name. Tell us where you live, and I'll give you 90 seconds to give your opinion on a couple of these prompts. Pick one of them. Don't do all three. But what are your thoughts on the state of the Pistons? If you have a rankling opinion about that, do you feel better about this team, you know, before the trade deadline or maybe after the trade deadline? Where do you feel better about the state of this team right now? A different prompt that you can answer, do you have some thoughts on the draft? Do you like a player out there that you love? Is someone being overhyped? Is someone being underhyped? Don't give me all your thoughts on the draft, but give me a couple of thoughts that you have from watching college basketball and overseas so far this year. And also, do you have some favorite memories to look back on? Is there something that we haven't talked about doing some of our memory lane type of segments that we do here? And do you have something you want to share? Maybe a personal moment of being at a game and what you think Pistons fans would like to hear about. Again, that's 810-666-1546. That's the Google voicemail line. Call us, open lines for the next couple of days. But this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.